Okay, so a brief thought then on framing the parasha. One of the central themes of Sefer Bereishit has been, and is, and always will be, is chosenness. Yeah. Is the question of who gets chosen. First, it's the question of whether, right, the first two parashiot are a question of whether there needs to be chosenness at all. Right, you have an attempt at the whole world being God's plan. Adam, and then again in Noach, I mean, God kills the entire world, but then attempts again to start creation again, and then that doesn't work. So we go with choosing. We have a particular family, so Avram is chosen, and then the drama over Yitzhak and Yishmael, and the drama over Yaakov and Esav. But then the latter half of Bereishit is, and I've mentioned this before, is the drama of who's going to be chosen amongst Yaakov's children. And we take it as a given, by the time you get to the end of Bereishit, that the answer is everybody is going to be chosen. Right? Not nobody, but everybody will be chosen. But we always have to remember that in Chumash, not everything we know did the people in Chumash know. And as Liebtag has very succinctly put it, the drama of Parshat Vayeshev begins with the following question, which is the favoritism showed towards Yosef an indication of Bichora or Bichira? Meaning, is he being granted a special status because he's being treated as the Bichor, in which case everyone else is chosen, he just has certain advantages and privileges over everybody else, or is this a moment of Bichira? Where everyone else is being rejected and only he is being chosen, and this is the drama. But it's actually worse than this, because what Gavi said is that, right, maybe no one is chosen. Now, you meant no one is chosen to the exclusion of everybody else, but there is a much bigger danger going on here, which is that this is a disaster. Now, what would indicate that Vayeshev is a disaster? So, take the following, and you know, I thought about this, but I was listening to a shir on my way here from the Meyun V'Tanach by David Silber, and he put it very pointedly, and I think it captures really the drama of this part of Bereishit. Yaakov has, at this point in Bereishit, at least 11 sons. How many of those sons? Benjamin's already born. He's 11 sons who are potentially active. Benjamin is still very young. Let's put it that way. Right? 12 sons. How many of them have ever spoken, done anything we know anything about? No, that's not true.
Two or three, yeah.
So if you include Vayeshev, But.
Okay. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda.
And Yosef, five, right? Five sons, right? We never, ever hear anything from God, Asher, Naphtali. We have no idea. Like, you know, I mean, it's sort of weird to say, like, they are the Shvatim, but we literally know nothing about their lives at all, except that they existed. We never hear anything about them. We're the only sons in Bereishit that get any speaking lines or any individual stories are the five we just mentioned, plus Binyamin. Yeah, but Binyamin hasn't yet spoken. Right, Binyamin will. Well, he will have a right. We will have a problem with Binyamin. So, those are the five that we know anything about. And at this point in the parsha, at this point in Bereishit, by the time you get through, let's say halfway through Vayeshev, what do we know about the sons?
They're not too
good. Yes, Reuven has, as the pasuk said, slept with his father's wife, or whatever happened there, but that's what the pasuk says. Shimon and Levi are criticized by their father for massacring a town, which again, it may be that they're right, it may be they're not right, machloket rishonim. But Yaakov isn't happened with Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Yehuda is the one who initiates the sale of Yosef, and then in the middle of this week's parasha, sleeps with a prostitute, right, is right responsible for not giving over his third son to Tamar. All types of wonderful things going on. And Yosef had his, you know, laws about his brothers, and at any rate, whether he's good or bad, is basically written out of the, seems like he's about to be written out of the family, because he is, right, thrown in a pit, and then when that doesn't work, sold off to, right, to Egypt. We don't yet know what's going to happen, right? Again, so descriptively, by this point in Bereishit, either because of ethical failings, or because of lack of luck in the family arena, the only five brothers we have heard about are potentially, well, we don't know yet, but are potentially going to be written out of the family. We don't know yet, but we know that, like yes, last week, as Rashi said, that even after Reuven sinned, it says there are 12 sons to Yaakov, which could have indicated, right, as Chazal read it, that this indicates that Reuven is still in the family. But the fact that Chazal have to say that is because, at this point, there is a real question of who is going to be Yaakov's heir, and the first five possibilities that we meet become very unlikely as we get through, just halfway through this week's parsha. And a lot of what Bereshit is trying to figure out, or the drum of Bereshit is figuring out whether that read is correct, which it won't be. By the end, it won't be, right? Everyone's going to be in the family. But that's not a given in Vayeshev. And that's what you have to understand. When you understand the tension in Vayeshev, you have to remember that we don't yet know Vayechi. We don't yet know that everyone's part of the family. And considering that, it is not abnormal in Bereshit for one child to be chosen to the exclusion of everybody else. Right? We think of it in Avram's family as one out of two. It's not. It's one out of eight. Right? It's one out of eight. Right? Yes, the drama is Yitzchak and Yishmael, but then there's another six where there's no hafamina that they're part of the family, right, in terms of being heirs. And that, right, I hadn't really thought about it this pointedly, but when you realize the first five sons, and the only five out of six of the sons that we ever hear anything about in all of Bereshit that have any personality as far as Bereshit is concerned, either have ethical either failings or ethical, religious, political, tactical machlokot with Yaakov about whether they're following the right path, right? Or maybe don't have serious moral failings, but maybe almost dead and sold off to another country. Wait, this is the real drama of who, if anybody, is going to inherit Yaakov. Because by the middle of Vayeshev, we have no answer to that question. And that, I think, explains a lot of the tension that you have to explain in Vayeshev. The last thing that I'll note, and this is really the key to Bereshit, is that what is the chapter in which everything begins to turn around and resolve itself? It's only once you understand the drama that you understand why this is such a big deal. The perek in which everything turns around is Lamed Chet, is when Yehuda, after reaching basically the bottom of the moral pit, as deep as he possibly could get himself into, right, having sold his brother and lied to his daughter-in-law and slept with the prostitute, and his daughter-in-law being on the brink of being killed for attempting Yibum, right, Yehuda turns it all around in that moment of saying, Sadkami Meni, right, she is right. That is the pivot of all of Sefer Bereshit. But you don't understand how important that is until you realize how bad it's been, or could have been, until that moment. Okay? So that's just sort of an overarching picture of the drama of Bereshit, and tomorrow and the rest of the week we'll go into Vayeshev, understand a little bit the Yosef story, a little bit the Yehuda and Tamar story. I'll try not to do so many things that are repeats from last year. This is a bit of a slightly different angle on things we've talked about, but because of Zev, I always have to try to come up with different things, which is why I do have to apologize to the Shana Aleph guys. That's why sometimes I don't talk about the main parts of the Parsha, because obviously the first year I did this, I did, and I feel bad for Zev doing all those things again. Because obviously he remembers everything.